The scripture reading this morning from God's holy word can be found in the Pew Bible in the book of Psalms on page 544. The book of Psalms, page 544, and we'll be reading from Psalm 3. Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him, Selah. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill, Selah. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be upon your people. Selah. Amen.
When something's repeated, it's given importance. We recognise that we need to listen and pay attention. And there's one such word in the Bible, Selah. It appears in the Psalms, and it appears no less than 71 times. It also appears 3 times in the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament as well. And yet, no one is precisely sure what it means. It may be a priestly benediction. It may be a call for the orchestra or for the singers to strike up in their praise. It may be all kinds of other things. An amen. A praise to God. All of that. But one thing is sure. Selah is something that was spoken often in recognition of who God is, what God has done, and what God is seeking to do. And so as we read the Psalms, we say also the word Selah. And in the Amplified Bible, it simply says, now pause and think of that. In other words, think of what God might well be doing in our lives, in our circumstances, in our situation, even if we don't recognize it at that time. That mirrors King David's experience, as we read earlier in Psalm 3. Selah, pause and think of that as we give glory to God. It's been quite a year. The past week saw the first anniversary of my induction here. And whilst much has happened during that time, other things have also taken place. During the same period, my mother has been in and out of hospital, unlike any time before. And ultimately, this has led her into residential care. Clearly, it's been a time of change for her as well as for me. A time of adjustment, a time of recognition that past health and well-being is no longer, and that independence is not what it once was. All with the dawning reality of new challenge. Amongst that has come other issues, family issues, differing perspectives, different expectations. Other relatives seeking the best, but not always achieving the best, all leading to tension and the recognition that some relationships might not be what they once were, even despite the best of intentions. In the midst of that, I was asked to provide some background information concerning my mother. That made me think about her past and about her family. It brought to mind stories heard from an early age, of photographs still contained in albums and boxes. It made me think of my mother's side of the family and also my father's. And it reminded me that families are not always as they could or should be. There are certainly good times, yet perplexingly, mixed in and amongst that are other times. Circumstances and situations which arise, personalities that come to the fore, all at times leaving their mark, sometimes for all the wrong reasons. Don't get me wrong, there are no real skeletons in my family closet, just ups and downs like so many. But there is another dimension, the Christian dimension. I certainly know of its effect, yet it is no panacea in relation to family matters. And that's where things can get confused, just as with King David and all that he faced. In his time, there were those who put two and two together. They looked at where he'd so clearly got it wrong and gone astray in life, only to conclude that whatever was happening to him was his just reward. And there were those who mistook King David's changed circumstances as a sign, an indicator that God was punishing. And in it all, it seemed as if there was no turning back, no hope, no salvation. Which is why Psalm 3 is important to those who believe today. Yes, it relates to Old Testament times. It relates to a specific person with specific issues, yet it acts as a reminder that all is not what we necessarily see, hear, or understand. Not, at least, in relation to spiritual matters. Translate that into today, and there are lessons to be learned. As Christians, we believe that God has saved us through his Son, that all that Jesus did set us free from the effect and power of sin, which makes our response all the more important. For anyone who experiences Christ would seek to honour him. Yet there will be times when that does not happen, perhaps more times than we might imagine or care to mention. That can affect our relationship with God, and that can hinder us. More than that, it can make us believe that God is no longer on our side, or somehow not even with us. For circumstances may point to that conclusion, whilst logic and other people can reinforce it all. Faced with that, there is an inevitable sense of defeat. Yet, no matter what has happened, That should not be so. That's why King David's example is so important. For faced with circumstances in the extreme and in full knowledge of his own sinfulness, King David trusted God. And he trusted because he recognized God in a way that can be easily overlooked. For he recognized the investment which God had made in him. David knew who he was and knew what he had done. He knew what he should have done, as well as what he ought not to have done. He knew that God could not bless all that had taken place, but he also knew that God could be approached, that in knowing him and coming to him and seeking him, a way would and could be found, because God loved him. And because God desired to work in King David's life for his own betterment, as well as for others. Today, all manner of things might affect you. There could be family issues. There could be failure. There could be mistakes. And there could also be hurt, causing you to believe that God is at best tolerating you, or at worst out to get you. None of that is true. King David looked ahead towards the Messiah, but whoever believes now can look back. Look back on what Jesus has done. Look back on his life, death, and resurrection. Look back on his coming, so that you might believe and that you might know him. And all the while, knowing that it was done for you. Done in the recognition that you or I might still fail or still sin. That's when we need to know what King David believed. That God is like a shield. This was not a prayer asking God to become like a shield. No. Instead, this was a prayer of recognition. A prayer of fact. True for King David and true for you or for me. But God does more than just protect. Instead, he lifts up. King David said that God would lift his head. Symbolic for lifting the whole body or the whole demeanor. But more than that, lifting the person. For again, no matter what, God desires to lift you and I from the person we once were to someone new. And from the person that we might believe we are into someone that we might not even imagine. And when that happens, invariably, we will have something new to say. A new response comes out from us. And for King David, that meant speaking out in prayer. For when words of praise or worship are expressed, when words of truth are made audible, the atmosphere around us changes. This is no wishful thinking, and neither is it mind over matter. Instead, it's God's Spirit engaging with our own. And when that's known, an assurance comes that God hears, that He is aware, and that He can and will bring an answer. One which meets our need, whatever that might be. For King David was in a place where he looked beyond the immediate, because whatever the immediate might be for us does not change who God is or where He is. And faced with that, it's possible to put matters into God's hands, believing that He can work on our behalf in a way that no amount of fretting or worrying on our part can resolve. And so when all was said and done, King David slept. He found peace. He found refreshment. And for him came new found hope. Through it all, God sustained, bringing about renewed confidence, an assurance that no matter the odds, God would be for him. A truth that remains for you who believe. For if God is for us, who can be against? Yet still, that was not the final word for King David. Arise, O Lord, was his cry, as he used a phrase of Moses, calling on God to not only defend, but also to ensure victory, leading to a prophetic declaration that would indeed take place. For God's victory is ultimately our victory, a power that can overcome through the salvation which He has secured, making that an experience to be gained, just as King David recognized, bringing victory into your life in the way that it's required most. For that's what God desires. Because His redemption is transformative. It's not intended to take us only so far. Instead, it can transport us. It can enable us. It can equip us, bringing fulfillment to us. As King David said, may your blessing be on your people. For God's desire is that we know it, that we experience it, and that we in turn become it to others. Making Psalm 3, King David's Psalm, the first Psalm to be given its own title, the Psalm, which tells us that even when all is not well, it is. And even when all is not going according to plan, it is. Why? Because God is forming a new kind of family. And He's taking us into a new type of family relationship. One that He has inaugurated, and one which He alone can fulfill. Where His presence remains each and every year, as well as always. Let us pray. Lord, whatever our relationships, whatever our past, whatever our family situation, enable us to know that you are there. There to act. There to help. And there to bring about change. All for your glory. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.